Why don't you go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'll be there in a few moments. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we love you. Oh, we love you. We desperately want you. I ask you, Lord God, now in Jesus' name, that you'll anoint our ears that we can hear what the Spirit has to say. That you'll touch our hearts. You'll let us see what we need to do in the kingdom of heaven. What we need to do that we can get closer to you, that we can have a deeper and more meaningful relationship with you, but also, Lord, so that we can be better ministers for you. So I ask you to help us, Father. I go forth now as a sower sowing seed, and I pray, Lord God, it falls on good soil and produces much fruit, 160 and 30-fold. Father God, let it come forth. Let me be a blessing. Let me communicate what you've shown me. And ask you to do it in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 Let me believe that God really wants to bless you. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that He wants to bless you? See, people don't really believe that. I want you to know God wants to move supernaturally in your life and in your family, at your workplace. He wants to bless you. He wants to let you know what life is really all about and give you the answers and the secrets and the keys to His kingdom so that we can access everything that He has for us. Now, how many of us play golf? Any golfers in here? Yeah, got some. Yeah, got some golfers. How about tennis? Any tennis players in here? Yeah, got some tennis players. Good. Got some tennis players. How about the musicians? You guys, I know we got these that were up here, but you play some sort of a musical instrument. Would you raise your hand if that's kind of you? You got musical? Yeah, good. Great. I want to ask you a question. What would you do if you really wanted to make that ability better? If you really wanted to kick it up a notch, that you wanted to go to the next level in your ability to do whatever it is, your tennis, your golf, your musical instruments, but whatever that you're doing, but you really wanted to get really good at what you do, what would you do? Now, I think what I would do, and see if this agrees with you, I would spend time with some professionals. I would take lessons. And if you're good at what you do, you probably did that. Somewhere along the way, you spent time, even though maybe you didn't take lessons as per se, but you spent time with people that could do it well. And you learned from some professionals how to do certain things in life. I am a very good fisherman. I was telling someone yesterday, if I could fish, if I could do everything as well as I fish, I would be the greatest. We go to Florida, of course, regularly. In the summer, we take our vacations down there, and I go out regularly fishing. My nephew went with me last year down there, and I was just relaying this particular time. Well, we had limited out. We caught our limit on both grouper and snapper, and we came back in with our catch. And you can't clean them. It's illegal to clean the fish on the water. So we brought them back, and the state provides, at the boat ramp where I put in, they provide this table, this cleaning table, fish cleaning table. Well, the table was empty, so we dumped our fish out, and there was just all these big snapper and grouper laying there. And people began to come around taking pictures and awing at our fish. And other boats had come in, and they had caught nothing. But here we were with all of these fish. I used to go down to Lake Weiss a lot, and I would enter fishing tournaments, specifically the striper fishing tournament. And of all the years that I did that, which were many, all the years that I did that, I won it every year, except one year. I am a very, very good fisherman. Now, how did I get to be a good fisherman? Did I just luck up? Did I just, just stumble around and finally figure out how to do it? I guess maybe I couldn't catch a few fish, but what I did is I spent time with professionals. I took lessons, if you would. I went out with professional people that fished, and they taught me how to do it. And now I do it as well as they, or even better than some of them. And any time that we want to kick it up a notch, any time that we want to raise the level of intensity, we want to become more dynamically improved in what we do, we're going to do something like that. We're going to spend money. We're going to do whatever's necessary. We're going to find somebody that does it better than we. And we're going to spend time with pros, if you will. You know, it would have been neat, easy and nice if they could have. Now you'll start seeing where I'm going. It would have been easy and nice if they could have just, if these fishing pros could have just laid hands on me and prayed for me. And or cast out my bad habits of fishing. You know, just the things, my bad techniques, just cast that out of me. It would have been great, wouldn't it? Or give me a book to read and say, here, if you read this book, you'll catch fish. Wouldn't that have been great? But it doesn't work that way. You see, if you're a musician, somebody just didn't lay hands on you and you start playing. Most times, I suppose it could happen. If you're a great tennis player, then it just didn't happen. If you play golf well, then it didn't just happen. You spent time doing it. You got around people that could do it well. And you maybe even took lessons and got with some pros. If you're really good, you probably did that. What in the world has that got to do with the Sermon on the Mount? Well, we're at the point in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus comes to a place and he tells us how to raise our spiritual talents, how to kick it up a notch, how to come up to a place in him, in God, where we are better, where we're more spiritual. And I'm going to kind of clarify that in just a little bit. But we come up to the next level spiritually. And it's interesting. It's interesting. You see, what we can really do is we can sign up for private lessons. And we can be alone with the pros in the realm of the Spirit. We can be alone with the Father and spend time with Him. We can be alone with Jesus and spend time with Him. We can be alone with the Holy Spirit and spend time with Him. And if we'll do that, we'll kick it up and we'll come into a better place. How many of you have ever wanted to do that? Has anybody in here other than myself ever really wanted to get better at spiritual things and kick it up a notch? Would you raise your hand if you've ever? Yeah, see there? We've been there. And this is how we do it. What Jesus is going to talk about in this part of the Sermon on the Mount is how we really do that. See, we look in the mirror and we see that we're not growing. When I say look in the mirror, not necessarily, but we look at ourselves and we realize that we're not growing. And I look at my life over the last couple of years, and if I haven't grown, then there's a problem. I need to do something. Or if I'm not praying like I ought to, my prayer life isn't advancing. Or if my concern for hurting people isn't where it ought to be, and I don't care if people hurt, well, then there's a problem. I'm not growing. I'm not maturing. You know, if my giving isn't correct, then there's a problem. And what Jesus is going to be working on us today and helping us understand is that we can sign up for some lessons. And we can spend time with the pros. And we can get our spiritual techniques much better. And this just doesn't happen. We have to train ourselves. We have to be trained. We have to spend time with Him and then practice, practice, practice. Let me show you this verse. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says this: have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself. Say that back to me. Train yourself. Everybody this time. Train yourself to be godly. Now, I want to... What are we training ourselves to be? Godly. Could we say here spiritual? Could I say train ourselves to be spiritual? Is God a spirit? Huh? And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You see, train ourselves to be like God. Train ourselves to be spiritual. Train ourselves to be godly, like God. And then the rest of the passage that I wanted to read in verse 8 says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise, look at this now, for both the present life, say that back to me, the present life, one more time, the present life and life to come. Now what I want us to see here, first and foremost, is that training ourselves to be godly, be like God, to be spiritual, has benefits for this present life. It's not just so we can go to heaven when we die. It's so that we can have benefits and have value right now in this lifetime. See, so many Christians just do this so we can go to heaven. No. You can have a blessed life right now. God wants to bless you right now. He wants to bless your socks off right now. He wants to train you so you can be a supernatural person right now. He wants you to kick up a notch so that you can expect the supernatural all the time in your life right now in this life. See, there's a value in training ourselves to be godly. In training ourselves to do what God does. Jesus said this. This is my head. He said, you know, I'm going to go be with the Father. He says, but greater things will you do than I did. Because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You see, we're supposed to be like God. We're supposed to do what He did. Whatever Jesus did, we should be able to do it. Correct. And what it requires to do this is training ourselves. He wants to reveal secrets to us. He wants us to spend time with Him. We'll never raise the level at which we serve, worship, minister, or live until we train ourselves to be godly. Do you realize that sometimes life is bad because people won't take time to train themselves to be godly? People continue in the same old habits year after year after year after year. And life gets worse and worse. And because what? They don't train themselves to be godly. They don't train themselves how to break habits. They don't learn how to do these things. But on the other hand, we can train ourselves. We can sign up for these lessons. We can train ourselves to be spiritual. We can train ourselves to be like God. And we can have life and that more abundantly. Okay. See, the Lord desires we grow and mature and get better at life so we can live abundant lives. And this is what it's about. The more mature we become, the better life should become. The better mature and spiritual we become, the more godly we become, the better our lives should become. We should enjoy life to the full. So Jesus talked about this signing up for these spiritual lessons on the Sermon on the Mount. So here's our series title, Sermon on the Mount, Living in the Kingdom. We're talking about living it now. Living in the kingdom of heaven now. And of course, today's lesson, this is the 22nd one that we've done, Kingdom Fasting. Oh boy. I told someone that this morning. They said, well, that's not one of my favorite topics. It ought to be. It ought to be. We should get excited about spending time with professionals. We should get excited. I get excited when I know, man, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to go with this guy, and he's going to teach me another notch about fishing. You know, we should get excited about knowing that we're going to be able to spend some time alone with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in prayer and seeking His face. And we're going to raise up a notch in our spirituality. Now, here's what Jesus said, the passage that I'm in reference to. Matthew 6:16 says this, when you fast, do not look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Is there a reward that we can receive from people when we fast? Talk to me. Sure, yeah. Yeah, they can applaud you. Think you're real spiritual. And verse 17 says, But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men, to people, that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, we've sung about and talked about that all day, will reward you. Say that back to me. Will reward you. Will reward you. We should look forward to this. See, fasting raises our spiritual sensitivity. When we want to grow and become better Christ followers, more godly, more spiritual, what we are instructed to do is fast. Yeah. There was a guy in the Bible, his name was Nehemiah. Now, he had a great job. He was the official wine tester for the king. And he wanted in his heart, he wanted to do something. He wanted to do something for God, and he wanted to do something for God's people. So he fasted. And shortly after that, he left his day job and he went to Jerusalem and he helped and led the team on rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed. and he forever found a place in his destiny. He found his fullness of life. He found what he was created to do. And you see, that's what God wants to do for you and me. He wants us to fulfill our destiny. God wants to do that for us. You know, and I got to be a little bit careful here because I don't want to lose my reward. But shortly after we came into the kingdom of heaven, I began fasting, and I fasted frequently since that time. And I lived such a blessed life. You know, I left my day job, and I started doing things for the kingdom of heaven. And I went forth, and I did what God called me to do. And I am so blessed that I can't take time to tell you. I am blessed going in. I'm blessed coming out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the top and not the bottom. And every area that you look at my life, it's blessed. And do you know why I think one reason that it really is? It's not just because of Judy. It's also because I fast. And I believe that God rewards you when you fast. When you seek Him, help me quote this scripture. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you're seeking God, you're going to live a rewarded life. If you're resisting the devil and drawing nigh unto God, the devil will flee and God will bless you. He will bring you into a supernatural place where you don't understand how things happen sometimes. All of a sudden, stuff just happens good for you. You have favor with God and men. People just bless you. And it's because you seek Him. You seek God. And Nehemiah did that. He sought God. God put him in the place to do something for God and to bless God's people. And Nehemiah found his destiny. And God wants to do that for every one of us. Every one of us. A key to successful living in the kingdom is fasting. Fasting. And do you know, few Christians, few believers really do it. If you're in the kingdom, you do it. But few believers fast. We see the kingdom, but we never enter the kingdom. Nicodemus. Hey, Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say to you, you must be born again so that you can see the kingdom of God. Hey, Nicodemus, you want to enter it? Well, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you want to enter the kingdom, you have to be born of the water and spirit. Spirit. You got to come into the kingdom. See, Christians know they should, but seldom take time to fast. But God says, if you'll do it, I'll bless you. I'll make your life supernatural. I'll make things happen for you that you don't understand how they happened, why they happened, or when they happened. They just happened. And you didn't really do anything about it to cause it to happen. It just happened because you were seeking me. Matthew 6:16 says this. When you fast, and verse 17 says, but when you fast. So Jesus doesn't say, if you fast. What does He say? When you fast. When you fast. See, in the kingdom we fast. Life in the kingdom requires fasting. If you want to enjoy the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and you want to have a life that has the abundance now and the supernatural things happening in your life, you'll fast. And it's not a commandment. See, I want you to see that. He didn't say, you know, I command you to fast. On these days you'll fast. He says, when you fast. See, the time we do it is up to us. We get to choose the time. We get to choose when. And it's different with all of us. Sometimes you'll be moved by the Lord and by the Holy Spirit to spend time with Him. And sometimes I will be. And He moves upon us, and He moves in our hearts and our lives, and we look in the mirror and we see that we're not where we need to be, and we need to kick it up a notch, we need to spend some time with the pros. And so we'll begin to seek Him in fasting. See, fasting will do something for you that nothing else will. It will. Fasting will do something for you that reading your Bible will not do. You can read it. But you'll get something from fasting that you'll never get reading the Bible. Fasting will do something for you that praying cannot do. Fasting will do something for you that ministering to people will never do for you. That you'll never get from ministering to people. Or even moving in the gifts. Fasting will do something for you that giving cannot do for you. Fasting is special. It's a special thing that we get to do for the Lord, with the Lord, and spend time with the Lord so that our lives are blessed. Fasting is a key to the kingdom. Now, I want to make sure I say this. When I fast, the Bible's better. When I fast, praying is fun. When I fast, giving is fun. Do you ever get like that? Man, I don't want to give. You need to fast. I don't want to read. You need to fast. I don't want to pray. I don't want to minister. You need to fast. Because you need to spend some time with Father and get it kicked back up a notch. You need to spend some time with the pro and get that stirred up in you again. Fasting is a serious spiritual experience. Fasting is a time of training. Fasting is a time unlike anything else that we do in the kingdom. And let me go ahead and say this. I've never met a truly spiritual person. I've never met a truly spiritual person that didn't spend a lot of time fasting. Fasting raises our spiritual level. And I don't care what level you are. If you'll fast, you'll still go up a notch. You become more like God when we fast. Remember Saul of Tarsus? Saul of Tarsus in the New Testament. He was on the road to Damascus one day. And this light, Jesus sent this bright light to him. And Jesus instructed Saul. He says, I want you to go into town on a street called Straight, and I want you to wait there. And he went in town, he did that, and he fasted for 3 days, the Bible said. 3 days he fasted, seeking God. Well, God sent this guy named Ananias to him, and you know what happened? He laid hands on him. Now, was Saul trained well in the Scriptures? He was a Pharisee, remember? Did he know the Scriptures? He knew the Scriptures. He was trained, and he had been to seminary. He knew all about it. And he was on the way to persecute the Christians, and he had an experience in fasting. And after he fasted, Ananias came, and his life changed. Ananias laid hands on him, prayed for him. Paul received the Holy Ghost. Paul all of a sudden changed. Saul's life changed so much that he became Paul the Apostle. He changed so much because it began with fasting. He changed so much in his walk with God that he had to change his name. Now, God wants to do that for you and me. Sometimes we find ourselves on the road to Damascus. We've become critical. We want to kill somebody. You ever been like that? Huh? We're looking for somebody to hit, you know? And we get critical. And we get like that. And we think we know it all. You know, I don't need to read. I know it all. And we become like that. And you know what? If we'll spend time fasting, all of a sudden we'll get a brand new Bible. Even though we think we know what it says, if we'll spend time fasting, all of a sudden, you know, Saul, who became Paul, got a brand new Bible because he had a brand new revelation because he fasted. And if you want a new revelation of Jesus Christ in your life, if you want a new revelation of who He is and what He is and what He does and what God's all about, if you'll spend time fasting, God will do for you what He did for Saul of Tarsus. God will raise you up a notch and use you mightily in the kingdom. And you know your Bible. You know that most of the New Testament was written by this guy, by Saul of Tarsus who became Paul. And we live our lives and run our churches today by what Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. And it began with him fasting. See, things begin in your life when you fast. He changes your life. He'll raise you up a notch. And you may not even realize it at the moment that it took place or it's happening. But it's happening. It's a promise. God will reward you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you into a supernatural realm. Saul of Tarsus never did miracles before he met Jesus, before he fasted. Think about it. Jesus didn't do miracles before he fasted. Hello? You know what? You and I are going to do a whole lot of miracles before we fast. These are keys to bringing us up into the supernatural level of God and expectancy and production for the supernatural things to happen in people's lives. That's what fasting is to do. God wants to do that. He wants to raise us up. He wants us to sign up for some special lessons with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Ghost. And He says, if you will do that, I'll stir up in you those gifts that I've given you. I'll bring you up to a new level, and I'll use you mightily in the kingdom of God. So it's not if you fast, it's when you fast. It's when we fast. In the kingdom we fast. All right? Matthew 6:16 says this. When you fast, do not, say do not, look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Is there a reward if you do it wrong? Huh? Is there? That's not a trick question. Yes. You get the applause of people. They think, oh my, look at this. This guy or this gal, she is so spiritual. Man, I fast all the time. Wow, boy, they're spiritual. And that's your reward. That's it. You know, sometimes we can do spiritual things incorrectly. Sometimes we can do spiritual things and not get spiritual results. I'll say that again. Sometimes we can do spiritual things and not get spiritual results. You remember the Pharisee and the tax collector that went to prayer meeting at the same time? Remember those guys? They went in at the same time. And the Pharisee was over there praying, God, I'm thankful I'm not like this guy, you know. I'm thankful I'm not like this old tax collector, this old sinner. And he was praying this, and here's what he said in Luke 18:12. He says, I fast twice in a week. How many of us do that? I don't see any hands. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, did the guy fast and did he give? But what was his reward? Getting the applause of men. He didn't get the rewards that Father had for him. See, the problem wasn't that the Pharisee didn't fast and give. The problem was how he did it. How he did it. He did it externally. And we've seen this through the Sermon on the Mount, that what the Pharisees did, that our righteousness must excel the righteousness of the Pharisees and the scribes. We must have a higher righteousness. But their righteousness, as we've seen, is external. Everything they did was external. It was by command, not from the heart. You see, we fast from the heart. We give from the heart. We don't give externally to be seen of people. If we're not giving, something's wrong with our heart, not our wallet. You know, that's why I don't condemn a preacher. You got to have a heart relationship with God to be a consistent giver. Now, I was talking with Lance about this yesterday. You know, you can't make yourself give. There's no way I'm going to make you give. Right? I might make myself give for a week or two. But if it's not in my heart, it's stopping. Come on. And it's that way with fasting. It's the same way with fasting. If I think fasting is a drag, man, and I am not going to get this, I'm just going to lose a few pounds, that's about what's going to happen to you then. You're going to lose a few pounds. But if it's in your heart that you want to spend time with the Father and spend time with the Son and spend time with the Holy Ghost, your life will change and God will reward you. And you will become a very supernatural person. Saul of Tarsus wasn't supernatural. He wasn't a spiritual person before he fasted and God began to move in his life. See, it's from the heart. And the first thing that Jesus tells us is how not to do it. Don't do it like these guys do it. Don't do it externally. Do it internally. You know, but I want to say this to you. Before you ever fast, make sure you're not doing it to be seen of people. Make sure you're not doing it for some external purpose. Make sure that you're doing it because your heart is leading you to do it. That your heart really does want to spend time with Father. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. You'll change. Now, Jesus tells us how to do it properly. Here's what he says in Matthew 6:17-18. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men, that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Now, the putting the oil on your head and washing your face, that'd be like us, you know, combing our hair or brushing our hair and sprinkling on some perfume or cologne. You know, it's not like they were just anointing their heads to be spiritual. What they were doing is looking normal. Do what's normal. Do what you normally do. Don't walk around and, oh, God, I'm fasting. I hadn't eaten for 2 hours. Oh, Jesus. Oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. He said, just do what you normally do. Don't showboat. Don't broadcast it. Avoid, you know, being obvious, is what he says. So, fasting, like giving, is from the heart. Fasting must be something that we do. Fasting will change our lives. There was a guy in the Bible. His name was Cornelius. He was a Gentile. And he's found in Acts chapter 10. And he loved the Lord. This Gentile guy loved the Lord. And he loved to give. And he loved to pray. And he loved to fast. And he would do this. And one day he was fasting and an angel showed up. Yeah. See, fasting takes you to a supernatural realm. One day he was fasting and an angel showed up. And he said, hey, Corny, I want you to send for Peter. I want you to send some guys. I want you to go get Peter the apostle and tell him that I said to come here. Go over there and get him. And he says, by that time, he'll know he's supposed to come. Go get him. Bring him over here. See, Cornelius heard from heaven when he fasted. And he went and got Peter. Peter came. And not only did Cornelius change, all of his friends changed. And all of his family changed because Cornelius had fasted. Because Cornelius had sought God. I want you to know this. See, God wants to do that for you and me. He wants to raise us up to a supernatural dimension where we can have angelic visitations. Boy, wouldn't that be cool? He wants to kick us up a notch so that we can have visitations from apostles. So that someone can show up in our lives to drop a word on us, lay hands on us, pray for us, Holy Ghost fall on us, fill us with the Holy Ghost, and change my whole family. Listen, some of you need your families changed. Come on now. Some of you need God to move in your family. Some of you need God to move and show up supernaturally in your life so that not only you, and some of you got some friends that need to change. How many of you pray for people? Are you praying for people? Yeah, there you go. See, when Cornelius prayed, not only did his family get saved, not only was his household saved, but all of his friends came up that day got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. See, God wants to do that for us. What fasting does is raise us to a supernatural dimension in God so that you and I can experience supernatural things. And not only experience them, but participate in them. And bring them to the lives of others. That's what he really wants to do. I was preparing this, and I happened to think about a time when Judy and I, several years ago, got to go down to Atlanta to spend time with Oral Roberts. A lot of the preachers were invited to come down, and Oral Roberts was, we were going to be able to sit in a area with him and ask him questions, and then afterwards he was going to touch us and pray for us, and he did. And one of the questions that he was asked, I'll never forget it, they asked him about fasting. Do you fast? He said, yeah, fast a lot. You see, what fasting does is stir that supernatural thing in you where you can lay hands on people like Oral Roberts and they'll be healed. Where you can speak to demons and they'll obey you. It raises us up into a supernatural dimension that we won't get unless we fast. Reading your Bible doesn't put you there. Giving tithes doesn't put you there. Praying won't put you there. Fasting does something in our lives, in the supernatural dimension, that nothing else does. I liked it that the Lord said obvious. He said, so that it will not be obvious to men that you fast. I think sometimes you gotta hit on this just a little bit. He didn't say, if you tell anybody that you're fasting or if anybody finds out you're fasting, you've lost your reward. He says, don't be obvious that you're fasting. See, it's impossible for me to fast and my wife not know. She knows. It's impossible for me to fast very long and you not know. But what the Lord is sharing here is make sure your heart is right. Make sure that your heart is leading you to fast. And that it's not a fleshy thing that you're doing so that you'll appear spiritual. But make sure that your heart is right. See, in the kingdom of heaven, everything is about the heart. The attitudes of your heart. Remember the attitudes that we began this whole series with? See, it's not commands. Jesus gave 8 Beatitudes that basically replaced the 10 Commandments. Now, I know if you weren't here and you don't know what I just said. Oh my God, you know. But I promise you, Jesus, he said, here's the way you live in the kingdom of heaven. Here's the way you live. Blessed are the pure in heart, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the. Help me, Don. Blessed are these 8 things, you know. And these 8 things are how we live in the kingdom of heaven. It's not by command. Command to tell you to fast, command to tell you to give is not of God. When we fast, we need to make sure that our heart is doing it for the right reason, not because we want to impress people. Okay. So it's obvious. He says, don't be obvious to people about it. And then finally, here's the last point that I want to make on this. He said in Matthew 6:18, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Say that back to me. Will reward you. Is that a maybe reward you? Or is that a definite statement? He will reward you. See, when our hearts are right and we've diligently and desperately sought God, and when we've really done this thing with the right motives, and we've wanted to spend time alone with Father, we wanted to spend time alone with Jesus, and we wanted to spend time alone with the Holy Spirit, God says, I will reward you. There's a guy in the Bible, his name is Jehoshaphat. He was a king, king of Judah. And Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel was the northern kingdom, Judah was the southern kingdom. And Jehoshaphat was king of the southern kingdom. And one day, it got bad. One day, all the enemies of Judah appeared at one time. They had come to destroy that nation. And Jehoshaphat knew that it was bad. He knew that there was no way that he could whip this enemy. See, sometimes we get like that. In the natural, we're going to lose. In the natural, that cancer is going to get you. In the natural, that enemy is going to knock you out. In the natural, you're not going to be able to pay those bills. In the natural, you know, things are bad. In the natural, we're going to get a divorce. In the natural, this is going to go bad. In the natural, the enemy is all around you, and you're not going to get out of it. In the natural, you're going down. But Jehoshaphat fasted. And when he fasted, things changed. He fasted, he decreed a fast. And God moved. God spoke to this little prophet named Jehaziel. And Jehaziel got a word from God, and he brought that word to Jehoshaphat and to the people, and he said, here's what God says. The battle's not yours, because the battle is the Lord's. I want to tell you today, listen, if you're in the kingdom of heaven, the battle's not yours, the battle is the Lord's. And once we understand that, once we understand that if I am His and He is mine, and we're living together and He's in me, listen, I can't be in trouble unless He's in trouble. Huh? And if He can't get me out of it, He doesn't have the things to get me out of it. He'll create what I need to get out of it. He will get me out of it. And so Jehoshaphat fasted. And Jehaziel got a word from God. And he said, it's not your battle, it's the Lord's battle. And he says, if you'll go out tomorrow singing and praising God, God will deliver you. Lance was up here today talking about, listen, sometimes when things are bad, that's when you really need to go out praising God. When we step in that dimension of supernatural ability, listen, in the natural, you ought to be home. You shouldn't even be here. It's so bad. Right? But in the spiritual, if you'll seek God, fast, come and praise Him, I promise you, He will deliver you. I've seen it happen. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. He will deliver you. He wants to deliver you. So they went out the next morning. And they went out singing. Praising God. Saying, what was it they sang? Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's all they sang. Over and over. Praise ye the Lord. You think we get tired of the same chorus? Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever and ever. And they kept singing that. And the Bible says that when they praised God, God moved. And he brought confusion on all those enemies, and they killed themselves. Listen, God will supernaturally move in our lives, and he will cause your enemies to be so confused they'll just kill themselves. Isn't that good? Now, he will reward you. I'm not done with the story yet. After they'd killed themselves, Jehoshaphat went to get the spoils. And here's what the Bible says. Well, let me read you where he told him to fast first. Go ahead and put 20 verse 3 up there. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. They fasted. God moved. And then in verse 25, this is what it says. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder. And they found among them a great amount. How much? A great amount of equipment and clothing. Anything you want. Equipment and clothing. And also articles of value. Anything that you want, you can obtain it when you supernaturally enter in. God will make sure that he rewards you with it. More than they could take away. How much? More than they could take away. And there was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Now listen, God wants to do that for us. I've gotten to where when I walk and pray in here, I pray blessings on you. I want God to bless you so much and give you so much of everything that you just bless the socks off the kingdom of heaven. And we're able to do so much here with our finances and our giving. I want you so blessed. I want you to come into a supernatural dimension with God that he just blesses you. He gives you everything you need. And all that happened because Jehoshaphat fasted and got others to fast. It all came through fasting. God will speak to you through fasting. He'll bring angels to you, messengers from God, if you fast. He'll send people to pray for you, bring apostles into your life, change your job. Need a better job? Want a more fulfilling job? Maybe you're cool right now, but you want to do something special for God, for God's people. Fast. What is it that you really need from God? He says, I'll do it. He'll send your answer. He'll speak to you personally. But he will deliver you. He will reward you abundantly. More than you can carry away. More than you can talk about. More than you can explain or express. And I promise you that's the truth. I cannot explain or express to you how my life is blessed. And I honestly believe that a part of it is because I fast. See, fasting is spiritual training. Now, let me make sure we say that and we say it quickly and we just kind of goes right over our head. Fasting is spiritual training. See, when we ought to be playing in the major leagues, we're still playing T-ball. Is that not what the writer of Hebrews said? When you ought to be teachers, help me, you have need that one come teach you again. Just the basic things. When we ought to be playing for the majors, we're still playing T-ball. When we really need to be stepping out there in the supernatural dimension, we're still playing T-ball. When we really need to be moving out in God, we're still playing T-ball. Listen, God wants us to come into the spiritual training to be godly, like God, to be godlike, to do supernatural things. Bible's full of supernatural things that just people did. In the, you know, all the book of Acts is talking about people like you and me who did supernatural things. Gosh, dog it, Peter's shadow would heal people. That's pretty supernatural. Huh? Yeah, then he raised somebody from the dead. Right? See, just normal people like you and I who just spend time fasting, seeking God. He'll move upon their lives. Spiritual training. Training to be spiritual. Jesus wasn't big on ceremonies or laws or commandments. He didn't like them at all. But he was big on spiritual training. This whole sixth chapter is about that. Now we've got all this image up here, which is the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. We've just finished that. But what he's done in chapter six is this. He talked about the spiritual discipline and training of giving. When you give alms, he said. And he tells us how to do it. It's a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual training so that things can happen supernaturally in our finances. So that things can happen supernaturally in our lives. He says, if you'll do this, our Father in heaven will reward you. He says, also in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 15, there he's talking about prayer. He says, if you'll do this right, God will reward you. If you close the door and pray in secret and spend time with Father in secret, he will reward you. He will bring you up into a spiritual dimension where your life walks in the supernatural. And just crazy, wonderful, glorious things happen. And then here, he's talking about the spiritual discipline and training of fasting. 6:16 through 18. See, these are spiritual trainings and spiritual disciplines that he's big on. And he says, listen, if you'll do these things, you'll have a great life. If you'll do these things, you will mature not only in the Lord, but you will have a wonderful, abundant life. God will supernaturally move for you. God will do stuff for you that would come no other way. He'll do things for you that you cannot obtain just by reading the Word or by praying or by giving or by ministering to people. If you'll fast, he says, there is a special reward that's attached to fasting. There's a special reward that's attached to giving alms. There's a special reward that's attached to praying. There are special rewards that are attached to fasting. And he says, if you'll do it, God will reward you. My Father will reward you. These are disciplines that he wants us to do. They train us to expect the supernatural. They train us to expect the supernatural and live in the supernatural. I was telling someone this morning, I so experience the supernatural, and I just know and think that things are going to happen, and they do, that I don't even talk about the supernatural much. And I got to change that. I got to help you. I got to get it awakened in you. But see, the supernatural is a way of life. That's the kingdom of heaven. And that's what the kingdom of heaven is about. So how is your spiritual disciplines? How are your spiritual disciplines? How is your giving? How is your prayer? And how is your fasting? You see, if you really want the kingdom, and you really want to live in the kingdom, then that's how you do it. Matthew 6:18. When you fast. When you fast. If you'll do it, he says correctly, from your heart, my Father will reward you. Is that okay? Is that a good word? All right, so go home and fast now. Nobody eats lunch today. Teasing. Do it from your heart, honestly. I want to pray for people. I want to minister to people. God loves you. He wants your life blessed. He gives us keys to his kingdom. A key is fasting. I encourage you to fast. Whatever that you're going through or needing from him in a supernatural dimension, he'll reward you. If you'll seek him. I want to pray for you now. What are you needing? Are you needing healing in your body? That's a supernatural thing. We're going to pray for you, but I encourage you to fast. Need something happening in your family? We're going to pray for you. We need to pray for you. We're supposed to pray for you, but I encourage you to fast. How about your finances? They all screwed up. We're going to pray for that, but I encourage you to fast. God might have you change your day job. Might have you go build some walls somewhere. You never know what God's going to do if you'll just diligently seek him. So what do you need today from him? What do you need him to move in your life supernaturally right now, right today, this moment? We want to pray for you right now. The elders and myself, we're going to pray for you right now. Father, we do. We commit this time to you. Lord, everything that we've done, everything that we've said, every song we've sang, everything we've done has come to this point in the service where we really touch the lives of people. So, Lord, I ask you now to anoint it specifically and specially. Lord, let us lay hands on people and heal them. Lord, we pray, Lord, that people will be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That they'll come to salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that everything that they need, whatever that we need, you said we could ask of you and you would give it us. Lord, we do that right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.